Okay, as the clock ticks ever closer to whatever's coming, and something is coming, I think we all agree on that. We're going to go down to Oz this hour, down to Australia, and talk to a gentleman who is considered to be a national treasure in Australia. His name is Max Eigen, and he has a remarkable program down there, and I wanted to invite him on here to introduce you to him, and I know he'll make a lot of really good connections tonight. Are you there, Max? Can you hear me okay?
I certainly am, Jeff. Thanks for asking me on the show, brother. Nice to talk to you.
My pleasure, indeed. How long have you been at this?
Oh, a long time, mate. I woke up at a very, very young age. I was kind of awake ever since I was a small child and kind of lived on the outside of society for a long time and made the best way that I could and started speaking out a few years ago and sort of figured it was getting important. So
been talking
and making a noise.
Causing trouble ever since, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, pretty well,
Good. Good for you. As somebody told me, Lenny Brenner, I think, years ago said, stay well and give them hell. And,
well, yeah, that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do, especially in these times. I mean, it's important. We're all facing the same situation here in every country that we're in.
Exactly.
And, I think it's important that we pay attention because I think people are, too, because people are starting to see the brick wall at the back of the theater. You know?
It's true. It's very true. We have a large listening audience in Australia. I've been a lot of friends down there over the years for this program, and I'm very grateful for that. And you are held in extremely high regard down there. When you say you started waking up young, how young were they, those years? What years were they, and how did that come about? It's not
well,
very
I woke
common.
Up actually. Like, I was always awake, really, Jeff, when I was a child. As soon as when I was about four, my parents told me we couldn't go and live in the forest because we didn't own the land. I couldn't understand the concept of owning the land, and I started to think that everything was messed up and that something was very, very wrong with the world, and I sort of looked at things differently ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of made my way through childhood and made my way through high school and then realized that I just couldn't do this. So I got a job as a musician and kind of lived on the outside of society for most of my life and continued to research why society was so messed up all the way along. And like so many other people, I mean, it was kind of a hobby for me, you know, this big invisible hand, you know, that we all know is there. And, you know, you start going down looking for UFOs and everything that we've all done and looked for.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9/11 happens, and you go, well, wait, here it is. This is the big event we've been waiting for.
Yeah,
and perhaps I should be taking this research a little bit more seriously and attempting to wake people up around me to the very real dangers that we're facing. So, I mean, like so many other people, that was a catalyst, that event, for so many reasons. And so that's why I really started speaking out publicly.
We have an opportunity here for all of you who are online to look at a very unusual website, and I hope you'll click on Max's name and go to the website. It's difficult to come up with a unique presentation, and you really have it. This is a beautiful, creative, provocative, extraordinary website. And I want to really commend you. I don't know who put it together. Probably you, if I'm any judge of people. You oversaw it. It's just like it's something you don't see very often.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. I actually made it myself. I made every pixel on that website. I did all the logos, right. All the graphics. So I did everything. I'm sort of kind of an artistic person. I was a musician. I was an artist for most of my life, and it just sort of led me to create that. I mean, I didn't really create it as a truth board. I created it as a place to display some artwork originally,
mm-hmm.
but it ended up just becoming what it is now. There's over 1,000 pages there now. There's a whole bunch of stuff on there. And I've been sending a lot of people to it. It gets a lot of hits. I mean, it gets anywhere from 50 to 140,000 hits a day. So it's quite popular. A lot of people do go there.
Good for you.
It's been great. I've done it without any, just word of mouth, without advertising. I have no advertising on the website at all because I want people to know that I'm not doing this because, I want fame or fortune or anything. I'm doing it because you need the information.
Doing it because it's the right thing to do. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's important. I mean, there's so many people out there. It's kind of become a truth industry in many ways to a lot of people. That's why I enjoy your show because, I mean, you're not afraid to push the limit and push the envelope, and you've got a very open mind. You've got a calm demeanor as well. I think people need that. That's why on my radio shows, I keep it very, very calm because I think people don't need to be yelled at. I think people need to be told calmly and politely what the problem is and offered solutions or at least pathways that will lead to solutions.
Yeah, you couldn't have said it any better. I agree with you. I'm so tired of showbiz and celebs inhabiting the world of what they call alternative news and information. It's just full of a lot of intel agents, assets, operatives, gatekeepers, phonies, egomaniacs, plagiarists, thieves, frauds, and there are some good people in there too. But our business is damn well as penetrated in many ways as the mainstream media is, if you think about it. I mean, we were targeted on because we had power, and now look what we've got.
It's to be expected that this would happen. It would really is. I mean, I didn't want fame or fortune from this at all. I didn't even put my face out there. It wasn't until someone filmed me in Slovenia when I was speaking at the World Hemp Congress in Slovenia.
Uh-huh.
And someone videoed me and put it online. It was the first time anybody actually saw my face. I managed to do what I did and get out there and get a national radio show across America and all sorts of stuff like I was doing. And nobody even knew what I looked like. And I wanted it to stay that way, but unfortunately someone put a video up there. And so, that's the way it goes. And that
well, I understand that, and I tried to be as low-key and private with my life, too, and there have been a number of efforts to rip that veil of, individual rights away from me. I have a right to live a low-key existence, but some people don't think so.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just a way of, they can direct personal attacks. You know, I get a lot of that, and you get a lot of disinformation. I mean, you get that, but it's just keep you busy with fighting the detractors rather than addressing the actual problems that we face.
I had to make a decision long ago, Max, exactly right. The tax on me have... grown incrementally over the years in severity, sophistication, ruthlessness, viciousness, and I had to decide, was I going to take the bait and go down into the sewer and slug it out with these idiots, or just continue to do the best I could to present what I thought was important, just like you do, to the people, and the choice was really rather easy. It bothers me when some people write and say, well, I read this about you, and you're a creep, and all. Well, fine, okay, I just can't. If people can't listen to me for a couple of years or even a couple of months and figure out what I'm doing and take me for what I appear to be on the internet in terms of trying to purvey information, that's all I'm trying to do, then that's their loss. It doesn't bother me. I don't really care.
That's the way it is. It's about the information. That's ultimately what it's about.
Sure.
The personal battles. I mean, they're all just there. I'm sure there's a lot of people that get out there and they're paid to do this. It's just shills that come out there and try to bait you. Just lead you off the track. You've got to expect it as part of the territory.
Now, you've spent some time with Ken O'Keefe, who was idle on the program after that horrible event that he was lucky, I guess, to have survived in a way.
Ken's a lovely man. I spent a lot of time with him in London. I actually went into Gaza with Ken O'Keefe in 2012, which was an amazing trip. And going into Gaza, I mean, it's no easy feat to get into Gaza because you've got to jump through several hoops to get in there. And fortunately, Ken's got the key to the city, so we figured, well, we might be able to just juggle a few things. And we got in there most unconventionally. I mean, you've got to get... To get into Gaza, if I were to get into Gaza now, I've got to go to, I've got to know someone in there for a start. He sends me an invitation, then I've got to take the invitation to the Egyptian embassy, see if they'll approve it, and then when I go there, they'll open the border for a certain time to let me in. Uh-huh. I've got to have someone to meet me who will act as a spokesperson for me or as a translator and will mentor me and keep me, be with me all the time to make sure I'm safe, give me the tours of the place and stay with me at all times. And then I've got to let them know what date I'll be leaving so they can open the border for me to leave and all this sort of stuff. And we're going, well, we can't do this. So Ken sort of contacted some people, and we managed to slip in through a very, very small tunnel, which nobody knew about. The Hamas didn't even know about it. It was kids we got it in, essentially.
You went in through a tunnel?
18, we went into a tunnel. We crawled in about 50 meters underground. Over a kilometer. We were underground for about an hour and a half. We were crawling through dirt, and we came up into Rafah, and it was just shot to pieces. We're right there on the Egyptian border in Rafah. And we just caught a car into Gaza City, and we rented a unit and hung out for 10 days. And we went up on the roof, and we did a video on the roof because we thought, we better let the world know we're in Gaza Strip, and we better let Hamas know we're in here as well, because there's no way Ken O'Keefe can come into Gaza and Hamas isn't going to know. So we better put this up there just to let the world know we're here. So we put up a video on YouTube, and that was virtually the second night we were there. And Hamas, the next day, the next evening, actually, while I was being interviewed on a radio show in America, Hamas came and knocked on the door, and because they'd seen the video, and they said they'd like to discuss our presence in Gaza Strip. Could we please come into the Ministry of Interior the next day? And we thought, that's pretty good. They didn't come in with machine guns and arrest us. They asked if we would please come to talk to them. So we did that. We got our passports confiscated. It was interesting, you know. We're in Gaza Strip with no passport in 6 days. It's an interesting feeling.
That's pretty wild.
But, something that I learned in there, though, was the Palestinian people are absolutely beautiful people. They really are.
Yeah.
I made some great friends in there. I lectured at the university. We built a schoolroom for the Sunni children. The Sunni children have been brutalized. Many people know the story of the Sunni massacre in Gaza Strip. And that's just one family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just one family in Gaza Strip. There's, you know, 1.7 million people there, over 900,000 children. They've got a ministry of detainees.
900,000 children, Max, out of 1.7?
Yeah, 1.7,900,000 children.
Wow.
Over half the population is children.
Wow.
When you see Israel bombing Gaza Strip, they're bombing the world's largest open-air prison.
Yeah,
and it's not, they're not having a war with Gaza Strip. They keep saying we're at war with Gaza. No, no, it takes two armies to have a war. In Gaza Strip, you've got a population, mainly of children, that are walled in with a huge wall they can't get around. There's a naval blockade that they can't even get out and fish. The only weapons they've got are fertilized-powered pipes that you go over and put a hole in your roof when they come down. They don't explode. And they've got the rocks and the stones that they pick up from the ground. Israel's got Air Force, Navy, artillery, and all this stuff. It isn't a war, it's a slaughter, it's genocide. That's what's happening in Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
And with the sanctions and the lack of electricity and all of the things they're putting on these people, even if they don't bomb the hell out of the place the way they do, in another 10 or 15 years, you won't be able to live in Gaza Strip. It'll be too polluted. So it's a slow kill, either way. And it's absolutely disgraceful.
It's slow.
Honestly, some of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah. Well, I have not met one I didn't like either, a Palestinian. They're all over here, of course, now, but many of them came from there. This issue of slow burn genocide is insidious. It is beyond satanic. The people behind this, of course, are, we know who they are and what they are.
Well, we are.
And it's got to come to some kind of a conclusion, because as you just said, the idea, obviously, is to exterminate these people or somehow force them to become expatriates. And what really bothers me, you know, it's a little thing, Max, when the media refers to the Palestinians who are being imprisoned in this world's largest outdoor open-air prison in Gaza City, when they're called Gazans. They're not Gazans at all. It's another effort to demean and degrade them on a very subtle level. They're Palestinians.
Of course.
And so, don't bite on that word, folks. If you see it, it's a trick.
Yeah, because Palestine, of course, has been expunged from the world map.
Yep.
Now you look at a map and you see Gaza and West Bank, and it's shocking. While we were there, I mean, we had a rocket land in northern Gaza City. Palestine didn't respond.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up one morning and there were fishermen being machine gunned by an Israeli gunboat offshore. Palestine didn't respond. You know, there were no air raids while we were there, and all the people of Gaza were actually very, very surprised. They went 10 days without a bomb being dropped from somewhere or someone being shot in the street from a passing F-16. So, F-16, there's one street, there's one big main street in Gaza, they call it Death Street, because whenever they want to take someone out, they do it on this street. This is where they took out the head of the Gaza military recently, the Hamas military. In 2012, I think, before the trouble flared up in late 2012. That was the man trying to negotiate the peace talks between Hamas and Israel. Of course, Israel killed him on the main street. But they say that the vehicles just blow up and explode and the bullets just come out of nowhere. You don't hear the plane fly over until 5 seconds after the damage is done, and you don't hear the bullets coming. And this is the life that they live. And the sound of these rockets when they land as well, I mean, it puts fear into you straight away. It's absolutely disgraceful what they're going through, and the sewage is overflowing and the lead parts because they may be used for, you know, rockets or bombs. And it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. They've got fertilizer-powered pipes that they shoot over because they've just had enough sometimes. And that's what happens. I mean, I think the whole situation is designed to inflame the Arab world and to create terrorists, because you get a child and you kill his parents and he cries, and then you kill his mother again a year later and he cries again, and then you kill his brothers and sisters and he cries, and then you kill his uncle and he doesn't cry anymore. And then you kill more and more people in front of him all the time. In the end, he doesn't feel anything, and all he wants to do is go and strap a bomb and take out as many of these terrorists as he can. And that's what they're creating. They're doing it on purpose.
They are doing it on purpose.
The world isn't paying attention.
Absolutely. No, it's despicable what's going on there. And I do believe that the end is to exterminate these people, one way or the other, either literally or figuratively, and get rid of them. Doesn't matter. They want them gone. This is all about greater Israel.
You know, it is. And actually, I've been doing recent Freedom Summit talks around here in Australia. I've been speaking. I do actually quite a large section on Gaza and the Israeli issue, what's actually going on there, how Israel was founded, you know, who founded it, where the money came from, all that sort of stuff, which is usually quite a shock for people. And during the presentation in Melbourne last weekend, there was a small Jewish cameraman who was filming the whole event, and he's nodding his head the whole way through it. And at the end of the event, he came up to me and he said, "Thank you so much for exposing the truth about what's going on with Israel."
I'm
a Semitic Jew, and the Semitic Jews who actually live and come from the Holy Land of Israel, that exist within Palestine, view the whole modern situation of Israel as an absolute abomination, because we have lived in harmony with the Palestinian people for centuries upon centuries, over 1,000 years, until all of this creation of the State of Israel happened. And while I was in Palestine as well, there were a lot of Jews, a lot of young kids who are very, very sympathetic to the Palestinian people. Well, the kids who got us in, all these people work together, the kids in Egypt, the kids in Israel, and the kids in Palestine, they're all one. They all agree with each other. And there's a lot of, it's a very, very delicate issue, that whole thing. But I don't have a problem with real Jews from the area, but I have a big problem with the government of Israel and the creation of Israel and what it's doing to the world, and the way these people use what are perceived to be past transgressions, and they wear this badge on their sleeve, and they enable it to be an excuse to get away with anything. I have a real problem with what's going on over there. I think it's been created on purpose to create the war on terror, to create things like the Vlad legislation we're seeing in Queensland here. I don't know whether you know, Jeff, we've just had this incredibly horrific legislation brought in here. This is anti-bike legislation.
Tell us more. They're anti-what?
Well, anti-bike legislation. Right? It's anti-gang legislation. It's called the Vlad legislation, right? Mm-hmm. Good name, Vlad. Vlad the Impaler or something. Dracula, the government's sucking as much blood out of you as they can.
That's funny.
But the Vlad legislation, the Vicious Lawless Association Disestablishment Act, it's called. And it's brought to us in a smokescreen of protecting us against lawless outlaw bike gangs. But what it really is legislation which will put any group of three or more people who belong to any group the government names, which could be a corporation, a business, a league, a club, it could be a chess club, you know, it could be the local knitting group. They name you as lawless and you can be put in jail for a minimum of 3 years without charge or trial. And it's legislation which is going to be used to bypass the judicial system in regard to crowd control, because they're about to open most of Queensland up as a coal mine that sold most of the place to China. And it's absolutely horrific. It's brutally Nazi legislation, and they're trying to push it right around the country. And they'll use this as a test base. You watch. They'll use this as a test base to be able to bring it in other countries. If it works here, then it'll work in other places. And I'm trying to encourage the people of Queensland, the people of this country, to stand up and see that this is an abuse of office, and that we can do something about it if we remember who and what we are. Well, I think that's the problem. I think that's the solution as well, Jeff. I think that all of these issues that we face, you know, government corruption and the wars and even the issue in Palestine, we try to address it by legal means. We forget that governments are our employees, and we need to stand up as one people and rein this criminal cabal in, because that's what it is. I mean, why fool ourselves?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This interesting name, I wonder if it was a slap at Putin also.
Yeah, well, Vlad Putin. I was thinking of Vlad the Impaler, you know,
that's
and then
the same thing.
Dracula on you.
Yeah. That's works both ways. This is a, when you say this is a test piece of legislation that will be watched by the movers and shakers, the controllers, you bet that's the case in Washington. What's interesting in the recent passing in Japan of the so-called secrecy law, which made it essentially illegal to even talk about Fukushima without running the risk of up to 5 or 10 years in prison, Washington commented on that, and I forgot who did it, but somebody said, we will be watching this law very carefully. And that's the truth. They're watching to see how much they can get away with. Now, I think they already know, because I do believe that the stories I've been told for years now, that there are supercomputers that literally have recreated Earth in cyberspace in a supercomputer, and that supercomputer is being fed 24 hours a day with every bit of information, news, weather, geography, geology. It doesn't matter. It's all being pumped into this computer. So you have a dual Earth. And then they, the controllers, are able to feed any scenario they want into that dual Earth, and they're going to get a plus or minus 1 or 2% response in advance. They'll know how it's going to play out. That's my feeling. I think they're that far ahead.
I think you're right with that. I think it's called the Cray computer, isn't it?
Well, one of the supercomputers is named Cray, yes, but there are a couple.
I'm pretty sure you're right with that. I mean, I don't know how else they could keep things the way they do. But then there's wild cards, you know. People like you, people like me, who can't control what we say. No matter what they do, they can't control what we say. It's very difficult to control the responses of people as well.
So far, Max, I think they are leaving us alone because their control is so dominant, and at least it is here in this country. They know that we serve a purpose. We actually let them know what we're talking about, what we know, how we see things, and it also creates the illusion that there is still freedom of speech here. Well, there is, but there isn't, and it's disappearing rapidly. When we outlive our usefulness, I don't know what they're going to do to us, but so far, so good, and let's keep it up. Back in just a minute with Max Eigen, live from Oz, and he's a terrific man in many ways, and I hope you'll visit his website. It's extraordinary. Be right back. Okay, and we're back with Max Eigen, and I want to tell you right now, this is an extraordinary person who has been picking up a larger and larger following all the time. What are some of the other things that, Max, you really like to spend time on researching and presenting to people?
It's
a deluge. I mean, you're a professional, I'm a professional, and I work 12, 14 hours a day, and I can't keep up with it. It's almost impossible.
It's just a thing. I don't think a lot of people realize how much time and effort it actually takes to keep on top of what's going on in the world, because it's snowballing at the moment. I mean, that's why I'm doing these tours around and trying to wake people up on the ground here. Something that I did here was I sent a letter to the Australian Attorney General. I released a video basically telling him to show cause, or the Attorney General of Queensland, Australia, anyway, basically asking him to show cause why he shouldn't be held in breach of trust and prosecuted for human rights violations for enacting the letter. And what we've got to do is charge these people with abuse of office. And I think this could work in the United States as well, you know, because, I mean, ultimately, government and public trustees, I think that all of the problems that we face, these are all symptoms. I'm trying to get this through to people that, you know, we're divided. And, you know, divide and conquer. There's the wailing people and the homelessness people and the pedophile people and the this people and the that people all addressing these different issues. And every single one of these issues is a result of government corruption, because it's the legislation that these people put in place that creates all the back doors and the smoke screens and all of this rubbish that we've got to deal with. And that only happens because we're a divided community. We don't respect each other because we're ultimately trained not to. Trying to bicker amongst each other and argue over the details of things, you know. it's very clever, this whole mechanism that's been put in place. And I think that, I mean, I talk a lot about consciousness and spirituality and all sorts of concepts about how your body's a biological computer. And I reference the work of people like Bruce Lipton. And they say, you know, you're downloading a frequency. This is what you are. You're a unique aspect of creation, but really there's only one of us here. It's all a single consciousness.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of look at things this way, we begin to respect each other, which brings about respect of others, and blah, blah. This is the sort of stuff that I go down hundreds of enough to be able to respect other people. I think if we did that, we could literally change the world in a day. I really do. You know, we don't have to do what these people say. It's just rules they write down on pieces of paper. The whole thing's energetic. It's just a mean idea.
Really, if we could do it, all we would have to do would be to say no and stop.
Exactly. Exactly. Just say no and stop. And that would come from respect. If we suddenly respected each other, even with the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, this is like the elephant in the living room, isn't it? You can put that up there with Fukushima, which is another elephant in the living room. And it's interesting you said that they're banning any talk on it. Because, I mean, Fukushima is absolutely, I mean, this is a potential extinction-level event, I think.
Correct.
If it isn't taken care of. It's hard to know what to do about it, isn't it?
They don't have the technology to do anything about it, Max. They really can't. They're putzing around with the spent fuel pool in Reactor 4, and they know they can't get all the rods out. They're broken and bent. They're taking out the ones they can get to put on a face of progress. They can't even walk into, they can't send effective robots into buildings 1, 2, and 3. So Reactors 1, 2, and 3 that blew their tops, blew their shrouds, and destroyed the buildings, no one can even go in there. And each one has its own spent fuel pool with, I've forgotten, over 1,000 tons, I believe, of spent fuel rods sitting 4 to 5 stories off the ground in the most insane design of a nuclear power plant that a nightmare couldn't come up with anything nuttier. It's crazy.
I know. It's incredible, isn't it? And if you looked at these ridiculous old reactors, we saw what GE and Westinghouse reactors, aren't they? And if you looked at where Fukushima is, and if you went over the whole globe and looked for the worst possible place to put a nuclear reactor, it's there.
Yeah, put it right on top of a fault, the earthquake capital of the known universe, on fill dirt next to the Pacific Ocean.
Top of a dry riverbed as well. An underground riverbed.
Yep.
So, it's pouring 300 tons of waste into the ocean every day. I was suggesting maybe they could build something like a big mycelium dam around it, so that any of the polluted water that flows into the ocean would have to pass through the mycelium.
I'm not sure.
A big dam, like a mile wide,
Water is the heavyweight champ. Water will go where it wants to go, usually. They're messing around with the stupid
water
ice.
Water would go through
down.
The mycelium. Because mycelium is porous.
That's the plan. I gotcha.
We've seen what it does to piles of nuclear fudge. Maybe that would help. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything else that would, but maybe that would help. That could be something that might slow it down. But, I mean, you've got a question. Why isn't the world just all stopped and is paying attention to this? Because this is an incredibly important event that everybody just seems to be ignoring. Everyone's just too caught up in the television world.
I think that's going to change soon when the mass of polluted water, the radioactive Pacific, is weeks away from making landfall on the West Coast. And when that happens, a lot of people with Geiger counters are going to be down on the beach measuring this stuff in the sand and in the water and in varying concentrations. And it won't kill you, but it's going to bioaccumulate. And I think everything is going to change here in the next year or two. We'll see. I may be wrong. Hope I'm wrong. But we've got big problems coming. You're getting a little bit down there, too, and not anything like we will. But some of the readings are interesting. No.
Not anywhere near like what you'll get all through, like right down from Canada down to Chile. It's the whole lot. It's going to cop it very, very badly. It'll take a while to get here. But ultimately, I mean, all the water's connected. All the oceans are connected. This
all
is a very, very serious problem, you know.
Yep. Every one of them. This country of Australia used to be looked at by Americans, Max, as a place to emigrate, to go, to move to. And I started to tell them about 10 or 15 years ago that those days are really, if they're not over, they're about to be over. And now I don't know anyone who's talking about moving to Australia.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of the most controlled countries on earth, Jeff.
You can look at it as
a test model with these land laws and stuff, see how they go. And they're really pushing it in other states. You can see the propaganda campaign ramping up in the newspapers. They're saying, oh, look, all these terrible bike gangs are now going over to New South Wales and Victoria, and you need to adopt these same tough laws, you know, to protect the people, you know. And it's a complete scam, and nobody's looking at the legislation. They're just believing what the politicians tell them. And we've got this new Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, who's a like a natural-born sociopath. This guy is just, he's like the devil incarnate, you know.
Wow.
And he's just ruthless. He's just bringing every piece of legislation he can. He's cutting a hole through the Barrier Reef to this coal port. He wants to tear down all the forests in Tasmania.
He's the guy. Oh, all right. They actually are going to go ahead and do this, chop a hole through the reef?
Yeah, they've already started. They've already started. Geez. And people think it's for coal seam gas. It's not. It's a coal port. So where's the coal going to come from? It's going to come from our food bowl, the Darling Dam, which is some of the most fertile farming land on Earth. They've sold most of it to China. It's all earmarked for open-cut coal mines.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're going to do. And once people start complaining about this, I mean, you've got these groups like Lock the Gate, you know, this anti-coal seam gas group and all that.
Mm-hmm.
All you've got to do is have the police infiltrate one of these groups or have an agent provocateur infiltrate one of these groups and create some form of violence, and suddenly that group is a lawless, violent, you know, violent, lawless association, and every farmer with a Lock the Gate sign on his gate can be arrested and thrown in jail, into a private jail, which is all about bums on seats. You know, once you get in there, they don't want you to leave, because they don't get paid when you leave.
Private jail.
You're really uncomfortable in there, you know, so that you complain, and you complain to the guards so they can extend your stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see where all this is going. It's the same in all of the countries. And that's another reason why we need to pay attention to what's going on in Palestine, because what you see with the West Bank and Gaza, it's horrific in the West Bank with all the checkpoints. There's like 560 checkpoints or something in the West Bank. You've got women giving birth on the side of the road because Israeli soldiers won't let them through the checkpoint.
And they're
in full view of the hospital.
Yeah. They couldn't care less.
It's ridiculous.
Stan, Max, hold that thought while you were running a break. We got to do a break. I'm getting too late here, so just a sec, we'll come right back with Max Eigen. Hold on. Okay, back with Max Eigen. Click on Max's name and go to his wonderful website. The people of Australia, what's their status? Are they as inert as most Americans? Are they kept under the thumb of usury and debt and diverted with TV and sports and the usual thing? It's got to be close to what we're going through here. They use the media to do this as brain entrainment.
Oh, absolutely. No, I call it Apathralia. Unfortunately, they're an apathetic bunch. They're just trained by the TV. They've got high fluoride content in the water as well. So it is as bad as ever. I think it's the same in all Western countries. I mean, England is the same. And there's a certain percentage of people that are awake, but even those who are awake, they just don't really know what to do. You know? No one's got a game plan. You know?
No one has a game plan. No one has a game. You're right. You're totally right. No one knows what to do. It's like they're waiting for someone to come along and ask them to please come outside and do something. And you know that one of the bad things about activism is a lot of people over here, I'm sure the same as there, they think that sending an email to their representative is going to do something. They don't get it. That's what the delete key was made for, to dump things that mean nothing. And believe me, the input of the voters mean nothing. How overtly and obviously controlled is your government by the international globalist Zionist banksters?
Oh, it's the same, Jeff. The same as everywhere else. Absolutely under the thumb, you know? And it's so obvious. You know, it's so obvious if you know what to look for. But I'm trying to put together a thing this year actually called the Full Circle Project, which I want to hopefully create a platform that people can use to create groups in their own communities, and we can start to inspire people on the ground, you know? So what I was saying before the break as well that I want to return to is in Gaza and Israel and Palestine, what people need to pay attention to really importantly there, apart from the fact that, you know, thousands of people are dying, is that what it is a system of warehousing and surplusing human beings. If you look at the West Bank, you've got the warehouse. And if you're Gaza, you've got the surplus. And the really terrible thing about it is because Palestine is being expunged from the maps and the history books, and these people haven't got a country. They have no passports. They can't leave. They can't go anywhere. There's nothing they can do. And they have no voice. They have no voice at all, except for people like you and I who choose to speak out about the situation. But it's a model, the model of surplusing and warehousing that we see in the Gaza Strip and West Bank is what will be applied to all of our countries. Once they start bringing in checkpoints and all this sort of stuff, you know, all these homeless people and start warehousing and surplusing people. This is exactly what you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to pay attention to this issue.
They need to pay attention to their own backyards. But they've got to stop thinking so nationalistically. We're all addressing our corrupt government and you're addressing your corrupt government. It's all one government, folks. It's one big department store. And each country is like a different franchise. That's what's going on. And you've got things like the TPP, which is bringing it all together and just making the department store bigger, you know.
Yeah.
So it is a merger of the different franchises of the one big store. That's what's going on. So you've got to stop looking at things so nationally. I think we've got to address things on an individual level and stand up ourselves, realize who we are and who these people are. This whole fictional system, this whole idea that we've been given that people have authority over. You know, where did this come from, this whole need to be ruled that we seem to have? And I know a lot of it's ingrained into us in the education system, but it's time we snapped out of this mindset, I think.
Of course it is. I don't know, with such odds, it becomes very difficult when you understand, and you understand it as well as anyone, how people are poisoned, and they're made toxic, both figuratively and literally, and they then become really immune to change because they're inert. They can't do anything, and I don't hold them accountable because they're victimized by the most advanced technology and mass social engineering, and you call it warehousing of people, that the world has probably ever seen.
Well, it is, and that's why it's so difficult to judge people for their action. You know, that's why it's important with shows like this to remain calm and to bring things to people in a really logical, common sense, calm way and open the doorway for them so they can discover the truth for themselves. We can't tell them. You know, the truth can't be told to people. But people have to discover the truth. It has to be realized for themselves. So you've got to have people presenting this to them regularly in a calm, eloquent way so that they can understand it and identify with it and see that there is hope and really... I think what we've got here, if you really want to look at it, and I believe in the power of humanity, I really do, I think we have the power to overcome all this. And I think that what we've got here, because the mechanism is now laid so bare for all to see, that it's really the greatest opportunity we've ever had in human history for true freedom. Because now we can see the cage, now we can see the walls, you know. I just hope we act before they are too high for us to climb. I work at it, and you work at it, and there's a lot of voices speaking out now. And I think it's important that people don't just listen to what we're saying, but to get involved. Get involved in the community. Get involved in talking to people, and get involved in themselves. Start remembering the power you've all got. Mm-hmm. And respect each other. Please respect each other.
Mm-hmm.
We want our own view to be validated, but we tend to invalidate everybody else's view. But, you know, it just doesn't work that way, because we're all equal. We're all in this together. You know, I finish every radio show with Imla Kesh, which means I'm another yourself. I think if we apply that understanding to the world, we can make a difference in a day. We really could. And this is the best opportunity we've ever had to do something.
Well, that's probably going to be our last.
Well, yeah. It's not looking good, is it? I mean, it's not looking good if we don't step up to the plate. I mean, it's an enormous challenge. But the stark reality of the future that we're facing, if we don't rise to the challenge, should really cause people to pay attention. Hopefully they will soon.
We're starting to see the expected birth defects. People, this country is being turned into an upper class, the elite and the upper class, a skeleton resemblance of a middle class and a two-tiered lower class. Our people here have been really taken from one lifestyle, one plateau, and dropped to the next. And a lot of them, it hasn't even sunk in yet. But they are not what they used to be. And I don't have the answers, Max. I don't know how to get to people any more than we do. We don't have really access to the mainstream media, which is unfortunately still the dominant media. The Communist News Network over here, CNN, I guess you have it over there too, as an international version. I try to scan most of them, ITAR, TASS, RT, Press TV, you know, things like that, and try and get a reasonable look at what's happening, but it's hard. And I have to rely on individuals who send reports, stories, essays, articles. So it's a tough challenge when you have young people now who are brought up literally brought up not to think, and then all of a sudden you're asking them to wake up and consider. Once in a while you see a light flash and somebody wakes up. But the majority of them are taught to be hive and herd oriented. It's no longer the individual achievement that's being pushed in schools over here. They want people to get along. Group is most important. That's what the message is. The group is most important.
Yeah, it's the collective. It's the hive mind. You know, a lot of it is. I mean, you know, we are literally a collective in many ways. We are one, but it's all been hijacked. You know, and you've got this whole transhumanist agenda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's something that really does concern me. The last film I did was called Transformation, which I addressed the transhumanist problem and the concept of what's going on in the chemtrails and nanotechnology and what's actually been done to it.
Now, that's very interesting, Max, because you know the big new Johnny Depp film is called Transformation.
Mm. Oh, is it? Is it called Transformation?
Yeah, coming out next month.
Interesting.
Over here.
Interesting. I've got a film. You can download it from my website, The Crow House. Just go and check it out. It's, you can download the whole thing there. I made it in 2012. Released it in April 2012. And just trying to explain to people, this is a fictional system. You're trained to think it's all real.
Oh,
it's being led down a transhumanist path.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And they tell us they're doing it. I mean, think films like Transcendent Man. I tell you, everything will be infused with nanotechnology soon, you know. Oh, really? How are you going to do all that? Chemtrail. Of course it's happening.
Easy to do.
And I've got a microscope here, and you can grow nanotech in a petri dish if you start collecting things around you in nature. Get some blood and some tissue. You can start growing really weird things in petri dishes these days, Jeff. So it's going on right under everybody's nose.
It would be impossible for me to adequately project what I suspect is going on. I'm sure you feel the same way about human animal hybrids, DNA modification of living things, mixing. They're doing the same things that Edgar Cayce talked about that were being done in the last days of Atlantis before it all crumbled and fell apart or was submerged under the sea.
Well, if you look at the world that we're creating as well, I mean, they're really polluting the environment with Fukushima and everything. You know, if there's going to be any life left on this planet, it will need to be transhumanist by default because that's the kind of life
interesting
that will survive in the type of environment that's been created, and it's going to continue along that way.
Yeah.
Unless we pay attention and do something about it, you know. I don't know what it'll take to fix something like Fukushima. Perhaps a shift in consciousness is all it will take. I mean, perhaps that's the only thing that will fix it. I don't know. So instead of if you grew hemp everywhere all around, it absorbs radiation, mycelium, and all this sort of stuff. That's all very well, but if it's melting down, it's as hot as the sun. What do you do with it? You know?
Well, it's now they drill test wells all around there, and it is showing up in groundwater 75 feet deep. So it's suggestive that some of the cores have fragmented and are down 70, 75 feet deep. And how are you going to get those out of there? You're not. And this enormous aquifer that passes under the plant as it moves through these pieces of the core that melted down and melted through, they're carrying a deadly message and cargo into the Pacific. And it may be 1,000 tons a day. TEPCO up their admitted amount from 300 to 400 tons, but we know how they lie, so I look at it as probably 1,000 tons a day for 3 years. It was amazing. Max, thank you very much for being here. It's been a pleasure to spend some time with you. I look forward to talking to you again. Keep up the wonderful work, and we'll be here if I can do anything to help you.
No worries. Thank you, Jeff. Same to you.
Okay. All right, mate. Good night.
Bye-bye, brother.
Okay, that's Max Eigen, and he is truly an icon in Australia and, in fact, in this country as well. You can hear him anywhere on this planet. It's one of the good things about the Internet. Okay, that's our program tonight on Tuesday. We will be back tomorrow night, Wednesday. Hope to have you aboard. Take good care.